I just looked at my tight end rankings, and now I'm going to go have myself a nice vomit right now.
Yeah, it was.
It's time to fade the chalk.
Fade the chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and with me, as always, my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. On today's episode, we are going to break down veteran winners after the NFL draft. Adam, are you ready for all this action?
I am. I started doing my super early 2021 rankings because the draft obviously is over, and let me tell you, there's a lot of players that I'm just not excited about this year. But for the winners after the draft, there's definitely some intriguing players that we're going to talk about. So it's fun though, because like the dust has settled. Now we know everybody that's playing everywhere, minus a couple, late free agent signings. So it's fun.
Dude, I'm cackling here quietly because I saw what you put out on social media. What, how did you term it? I just looked at my tight end rankings, and now I'm going to go have myself a nice vomit right now.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's like the top five and the top seven, right, is pretty fun, right? You have Kelsey, Waller, Kittle, Andrews, Hockenson, Goddard, Pitts. And I'll even throw eight because Irv. But then it's just like 12 through like 30 is just like, ugh, it's bad.
It's just like gross.
Tight
dude.
Ends by committee. It's, it's Zach Ertz, who we don't even know who he's going to play for by the time the season starts. It's Jared Cook. It's, ugh, it's bad. It's bad.
It's a whole bag of yuck. That's why people talk about it. And we discuss this every year, Adam. People are like, well, you could be a tight end one. And it's like, what does that mean? Like, is that like the kind of the discount badge of honor? You're like, okay, I'm tight end 10 and nobody cares about me except that like 2 weeks of the season when I scored half of the touchdowns for myself for the entire year. It's like, that's not that
like,
great,
like,
man.
Like, if you don't have one of the elite guys at tight end, you're just hoping your tight end goes for like 4 for 40.
Yeah. No, that's true. And it's really all about touchdowns. You have guys that get like 3 for 30 in a touchdown, and woo, they're a top 10 tight end.
Yeah,
if you score
a touchdown on any given week at tight end, you're going to be a tight end one, just by default, no matter what.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all, man. So let's kick this off. I'm going to lean into this the same team for another player that you're going to bring up. I want to talk about Anthony Firkser here for a second, because I was not that high on him walking into the NFL draft. We talked about this. There were a number of rookie tight ends where I was like, you know what? I think that somebody could land there. They run a ton of 12 personnel near the top of the league last year. So that's going to continue. And you're like, man, they're going to add somebody. They're going to add somebody in the second, like Freiermuth could go there. They're going to add somebody in the third. Okay, maybe it's Hunter Long or Brevin Jordan or somebody of that nature. They get, somebody that's going to roll into the Jonnu Smith role. And then the Titans didn't take a tight end in the top three rounds. And you're like, Anthony Firkser could be that guy this year, man. Like, I know they still have a bunch of bodies left behind him on that roster. But, I mean, seriously, could you see him breaking out in a big way just based off a target volume? As nasty as the target volume could be, the guy literally could walk into, like, 80, 90 targets. And if that's the case, you're talking about it. He has the potential with touchdowns and such to be a really good commodity in fantasy this year.
So, I actually have been writing about Anthony Firkser the last couple of days. So, there's 157 targets that need replacing with the loss of Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith. And Firkser last year, according to PFF, was top 9 in fantasy points per snap. So he was very efficient, especially in touchdowns. Tight ends accounted for 29.4% of the Titans' targets last year. And yes, Arthur Smith is gone, and they have Todd Downing there, who's the new offensive coordinator. But the Titans hired Downing as the offensive coordinator, and they stayed in house because I think they want to have the same kind of philosophy on offense: play action with Derrick Henry, run the ball with Derrick Henry, set up play action, and like Todd Downing is a former tight ends coach as well, like Arthur Smith was. So, would not be surprising at all if Firkser was it sounds gross, but second on this team in targets behind AJ Brown. I mean,
yeah,
it's not sexy, but I'm in the belief, I know you're huge on Arthur Smith and he's a great play caller, but I'm also in the belief that while this offense won't be as good as they have been the last couple of years since Tannehill's taken that huge step forward, I think their philosophy is still going to be the same. And like I said, tight end, former tight end coach, offensive coordinator, 160 targets gone. I'm definitely intrigued by Firkser. And it's not even just the fact that they didn't add a tight end. Like, we were waiting for them to draft a receiver in rounds 1, 2, or 3, and they didn't. I mean, they drafted, what, Dez Fitzpatrick in the 4th round? Like, that was the guy they added, and we all assumed it would be somebody before that. So, yeah, this team, all of a sudden, like, it's Henry, it's A.J. Brown, and it's Firkser.
I mean, that's true, man. And look, I'm lower on Downing than a lot of other people. I feel like the hope for Downing is that, like, he just replaces and keeps the same concepts. That, like, he's like a shadow version of Arthur Smith. Because you know how much I love his play calling. And the Titans were a quietly fast-paced team last year, despite, like, everybody's like, ugh, they run first. And that's not, I'm not saying that's not true, but they ran a lot of plays last year. And you're looking behind the guy you're about to bring up here for targets. This is the cast of characters that Anthony Firkser has to, like, compete with for targets. Josh Reynolds, and I am not a Josh Reynolds guy, not a stan, I'm not a firm believer in the talent and stuff of that nature. Rashard Davis, Cameron Baston, Mason Kinsey, Chester Rogers, Cody Hollister, you said Dez Fitzpatrick, Marcus Johnson, Fred Brown, Racy McMath, which sounds like a really made-up, like, name for a DFS player that still lives in his mom's basement. And the other tight ends here, man. Jeff Swaim, Jared Pinkney, Tommy Hudson. Like, none of these guys are, like, people that you need to be worried about. Like, oh, they're going to siphon off a ton of targets, man. Firkser could literally walk into, like, 90 targets, and if he does that, you're talking about the touchdown equity in this offense, Adam. It's fantastic, but it's also really, really good for another wide receiver that you're about to sit here and jump into right now.
I mean, I'm not breaking any news here. A.J. Brown, this will be his third season in the NFL. So his first two seasons in the NFL, fantasy finishes of wide receiver 12 last year, wide receiver 20 the year before, and that was all while ranking 30th and 46th in targets. I think we can all safely agree that if A.J. Brown stays relatively healthy, he is going to rank well higher than 30th or 46th in targets. He's been one of the most efficient receivers in the NFL since entering the league. He's going to see a career high in targets. Just don't even need to get cute here. I have him as my wide receiver 5 right now.
That's about where he's going right now. I mean, depending on what format that you're going with best ball right now, he's in that top 5 to 7 wide receiver range. And a lot of times, and I don't disagree with him, man. Like, I think that the volume is going to be there because, good Lord, who else is going to catch passes outside the two guys we're mentioning here? And so I like A.J. Brown, man. We've seen the talent. We've seen the efficiency. And now possibly you could see both those two things married to a bump in volume. You love to see it, dude, especially for a guy of his talent. And we're basically we've been calling for it for years since he broke out as a rookie. And we're like, give the man targets, please. And if we could see it this year, dude. So the sky is the limit for him. Another guy that we've been talking about for a long time, we've been out here discussing, Adam, has never had a quarterback until now, my friend. Allen Robinson is in for a monster season. Monster season. I put it out on Twitter the other day, and I'm going to leave it there. Don't delete. You can check those receipts all year long. Allen Robinson is in for a Davante Adams, Michael Thomas-esque just domination this year. You're talking about with Justin Fields and the upgrade over every other passer, and I'm not going to go through the laundry list of clowns he's had to sit here and contort his body year after year catching passes from. But we know the volume is there. Check that box. 13th in target share, 14th in weighted opportunity amongst all wide receivers and tight ends last year. Now we get the efficiency part, Adam. We're talking about that triad of fantasticness. Look, fourth, Allen Robinson was fourth amongst the top 20 guys in deep targets amongst the wide receivers last year in catch rate. The only players better than him were Brandon Cooks, Justin Jefferson, and Mike Evans in this category. That's a pretty good company to keep, my friend. And now you're talking about he's going to get an upgrade from Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky as far as the deep balls go. It is going to be a massive upgrade, Adam. Amongst 38 quarterbacks with 20 or more deep attempts last year, you have Trubisky pulling up the rear at 38th in deep ball completion percentage. And then Nick Foles is 20th. Justin Fields could chuck it, and he could chuck it deep, dude. 7th in deep adjusted completion percentage last year amongst 105 quarterbacks with 200 or more dropbacks. The deep shots are going to be there, and Alvin Robinson is going to catch a ton of them. The touchdown equity is going up. We know the volume is fantastic. Let's go.
I mean, I'm not here to disagree. We're talking about Justin Fields, so I see so many Bears fans tweeting about Justin Fields every day, and I'm like, good for you guys. Enjoy it.
Yes!
Good for you.
Good for them. Good for all of us. This is a quiet, good landing spot, man. Darnell Mooney's going to eat, too. We can easily talk about him as well.
But Andy Dalton's going to start the season, and they have a plan. They have a plan for Justin Fields to be brought along.
No! That's the... Adam, we talked about bad coach narratives and bad coach speak, haven't we? Haven't we discussed this on the show previously? Like, come on, man. Do we really believe any... Does anybody believe that? Anybody?
I mean, if Andy Dalton runs onto the field as a starting quarterback in week one and the Bears are at home, there will be boos.
Oh, people are going to be throwing things onto the field. It's going to be a whole lot of mess, man. And I don't see it happening. Like, Justin Fields is going to start week one. Set it, forget it. Lock me into that. And I'll put that out there. I don't care. I think it's going to happen, man. Because all we have to do is get him in training camp. He starts just, like, tossing lasers. And Nagy and Pace could be like, oh yeah. We need this. And then he's going to be under center for week one, man.
Yeah, you might have to mute both of us on Twitter during training camp when Justin Fields is throwing dots to Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney. But look, we didn't really get a lot of training camp last year, so I'm excited for the training camp ADP spikes for a lot of players.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited for the hype videos. I'm excited for all these different like videos that we put out on Twitter, and people are like, well, you know, he wasn't really covered, and it's just practice. And I was like, come on, man, let's just have some fun with this. Like, some days, like, why can't we just have fun? Enjoy good players doing good things.
It'll be okay, I promise.
Like, you ain't got to hate on it. We can sit here and have fun with some hype videos. Enjoy it. Good players doing good things. Let's love it, man. So speaking of all the love action, I got two running backs that I'm staring at that you consider massive draft winners, and I'm with you, dude.
Yeah, so they're starting to be really popular names all of a sudden in the fantasy industry because their teams didn't address the running back position like we thought they would. Mike Davis, who, I mean, the fact that Atlanta didn't draft a single running back in any of their 9 picks was shocking. Who'd they sign at UDFA? Javon Hawkins, but yep. That's the move they made, and maybe they bring in Kerryon Johnson, who just got waived by Detroit or something like that. But, I mean, as it stands right now, Mike Davis is a starting running back for what should be a high-powered offense. We saw when he got volume last year, he was good. It's weird because we thought it was you were good when Christian McCaffrey was out, and you're going to be a backup the rest of your career. But I mean, look, I talked about how tight end gets ugly. Running back gets really ugly after the top like 20 so running backs. So like when you're looking at Mike Davis, like you feel better about Mike Davis and Melvin Gordon than Travis Etienne, than Chase Edmonds, definitely than James Robinson, than any of the San Francisco running backs, and any of the Tampa Bay running backs, and any of the New England running backs, like Buffalo running backs. Like by default, he needs to be at least a top 24 running back. If they add somebody, okay, maybe that, you know, hurts a little bit, but I mean, right now, Mike Davis, like I said, is going to get 15 touches a game. He's going to be more efficient and better and more explosive than Gurley was last year. I'm not worried about him losing touches because he's like they couldn't give Gurley touches last year. Like he didn't do anything. He was hurt. He was slow. Like they just couldn't give him the ball. And then obviously Myles Gaskin, who at first it looked like, okay, Miami just doesn't want to bring in a running back. Then we saw the report that they were going to take Javonte Williams if Denver didn't trade up to get him. So yep. maybe they're still planning on bringing in somebody. And there's a lot of Malcolm Brown hype right now about how much Miami likes him as a third down back. We'll see about that. But we've also seen last year Brian Flores in this team give the ball to one running back. And that was Myles Gaskin when he was healthy, averaging around 18 touches per game. And then it was Savon Ahmed when he was healthy. You know, Myles Gaskin was top 10 in the NFL in opportunity share. I know they have a new offense, but I still think it's going to be a scenario where they give the ball to one running back. And to start the season, it should be Myles Gaskin. So he's my RB21 right now. Davis is at 23. But like I have Gaskin ahead of Josh Jacobs, but I might just move Mike Davis ahead of Josh Jacobs too. So as it stands right now, what is it, May 6, 2021? I mean, these two have to be looked at as winners right now. And their teams could do something to address the running back position via free agency, unless if you want to sign Todd Gurley or Le'Veon Bell or Kerryon Johnson. But if that's the move that's being made compared to what we thought would happen in the draft, and I think these guys are in pretty good situations.
I definitely agree with you, man. And we've seen from Miami, I mean, I talked about it, that it's Brian Flores is Mike Tomlin South, man. He is the guy that wants one running back. So all this Malcolm Brown crap that's out there about third downs and blah, blah, blah. I mean, look, there's all kinds of coach speak out there. You and I talked about Travis Etienne is apparently just a third down back. So we really, really got to take that all with a grain of salt. And if people are going to really believe in that, then Myles Gaskin right now I think could fall in drafts. I do think that his ADP and him and Mike Davis, their ADPs are going to creep up the closer we get to the year. Because it just happens, dude. We see it every single year, and the thirst for RBs is real. And Mike Davis, you talked about, is he going to be better than Todd Gurley? Yes, I definitely agree with you. Todd Gurley looked like the equivalent of a snail with a broke shell trying to just slug along. It was horrible, dude. Mike Davis is going to sit here and garner the volume. They don't have a guy outside of, like, unless you're throwing your chips in on Quadri Olsen, and I'm not a Javian Hawkins guy, then really, who scares you? Yeah. Who's giving you the heebie-jeebies there?
And here's the other thing. Looking at next-gen stats from NFL.com, Mike Davis saw a stacked box on 33% of his carries last year. It was one of the highest rates in the NFL. This is not happening with Julio Jones, Kyle Pitts, and Calvin Ridley across from defenses. Like, it's just not happening.
No. Like, it's not going to happen.
And he showed that he can catch the ball. Atlanta, you would think, will at least try to establish a running game. But if they can't, like, he's still going to catch passes. Like, they don't have a guy that says, okay, this is definitely a third down running back who we want on the field catching passes. Like, they don't have that running back. So Mike Davis could be like an 18 touch per game running back. And it kind of shows how bad the running back position is after the top, you know, handful of guys, because that Mike Davis is kind of looked at as a safe running back right now. But as it stands right now, it's kind of where we're at.
I mean, that's where we're at, man. I mean, you're looking for volume. You're looking for certainties. We can't project injuries, so don't come at me with any injury histories for any different player, because that is not something we can ever sit here and project. I'm not going to sit here and label anybody injury prone. Whispers Will Fuller. That's not something we need to sit here and worry about. But a guy that I feel like we do need to concern ourselves with, that has, Adam, this could be the last whisper of hope for the truthers out there. For even, dude, we were a little bit in on this last year. We talked about our bold takes last year. This is the last hope. This is the last remains. This is the last time. It could be Mecole Hardman season, man. I mean, look, Kansas City did not address the wide receiver position until the fifth round, the Cornell Powell, who is not really that scary of a guy. And they took a linebacker, a center, defensive end, tight end, guard, with all of their other picks. We know DeMarcus Robinson's butt's just out there on the field, just running wind sprints. That's all he does. And then you're talking about, who is he competing with targets against behind Tyreek Hill, behind Travis Kelce? If you want to throw Clyde Edwards-Helaire into that mix, we know Kansas City's going to be near the top of the league in neutral script passing rates. He's going to compete with this cast off of characters: Byron Pringle, Joe Fortson, Marcus Kemp. Any of those do it for you? Oh, Antonio Callaway. Oh, the ghost of Chad Williams, because apparently looking at their depth chart, I didn't even know he was still in the NFL. So that was a great little shocker. I don't understand, like, who's going to be taking targets away from him.
Don't they still have DeMarcus Robinson?
He's running. He's running somewhere, man. I mean, he's not catching any balls, but I hear he's running, though.
Yeah. I mean, I was legitimately being serious, because I'm out on Mecole. I just, the Chiefs, They didn't draft anybody, sure, but they have yet to show us, despite having injuries to Watkins and Robinson not being great, like, they have yet to show us they want Mecole Hardman to be a full-time wide receiver. So I disagree with you. I hope I'm wrong because I loved Mecole last year.
Is this just because you were a truther last year and it burned you? Is that it? Are you still hurt over this?
Yes, and because it hasn't happened yet. Before that even, right? Like, it's just, yeah. I just don't know if that's what they want Mecole Hardman to, I don't know. The fact that they brought back DeMarcus Robinson when they could have let him walk, I don't know.
I know, but wasn't like they paid the guy a lot of money, Adam. He's not good.
He still runs routes and plays snaps over Hardman, so it's all that matters. Like, I just don't know why they don't play Mecole Hardman more. And we think it's going to happen because he starts. How many times do we see Mecole Hardman when we're tracking it for fantasy or DFS? Like, he starts the game and he's at halftime. We see the snap counts and route counts, and he's ahead of DeMarcus Robinson. And then he finishes fourth on the team in routes among receivers. I thought it was going to happen last year because there were talks of him not returning kicks anymore. And then sure enough, he started the season returning kicks. And I was like, okay, that tells me they want him to stay on special teams, which hurts his overall upside as an offensive skill player. So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And with my luck, since I was on Mecole heavy last year and it didn't pan out, now I'm off him. He'll break out and be a elite receiver. But
a year early. You're just a year early,
yeah,
my friend.
I got to see it.
Look, I don't blame you. And I'm not saying that there isn't both sides to that coin. That they are perfectly fine running almost all of their passing offense through Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. I can't dispute that at all. And then the other thing about it is, like, I mean, he's had opportunities. And it's like the team has capped him. You know, right now, I'm throwing it out there into the ether that this is the last stand for it. Like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen now or it's not going to happen at all.
He's not in my top 60 of receivers. I'll just let.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get that. And the argument is sound. It's valid, man. It's absolutely valid. So, no, I don't hate the pushback there. I mean, I think that there both sides of the coin can definitely happen.
You are wrong.
I'm wrong a lot, Adam. I take a lot of L's out of here.
Oh, yeah,
okay?
So am I. I mean, this exact player I was wrong about this time last year. So I would like to be wrong again, though, because I still think there's an enormous amount of potential for Mecole.
The needle can definitely be pointing up, and if that happens, man, I mean, it's a rocket ship because we've seen the efficiency, we've seen his explosive playability, and it doesn't take a high target volume for him to capitalize on a ceiling, man. Talking about target volumes, the last guy I want to get up in here is a guy that people, again, there are tons of truthers out there, and anytime I put anything out on Twitter about this man, people are like, well, yeah, I've only been hearing that for the last, like, 3 or 4 years, and I was like, okay. All right, well, how about we change this dynamic? Have you ever heard his name come out of my mouth and with a lot of volume and me praising him up until this point and just being like, oh, yes, he's coming? No, but I'm in on him right now, man. Traquan Smith, I think, could walk into a fantastic season, dude. It's never been a question of talent. Again, like we're talking about with Mecole, never been a question of talent. It's always been a question of opportunity and volume, and he could definitively get those this year, man. Like, this team did nothing to address the wide receiver position. And for all the Marquez Callaway truthers and people are out there with their little Jordan Humphrey shares and Dynasty and all that kind of stuff, no, get out of here with all that mess, dude. Traquan Smith has been uber efficient when he's been called upon for the Saints. You look at 2018 and 2020, fourth and ninth in passing rating win target. That guy has been awesome when he has seen the targets amongst all wide receivers with 40 or more targets. You also look at, he played a different role last year. He played more outside. 68%, the highest mark outside as a wide receiver in his entire freaking career, Adam. And he was eighth in target separation. Had no problems getting off, had no problems getting open. And we saw glimpses of this to an extent last year with Michael Thomas being out, man. You have Manny Sanders is gone. Jared Cook is gone. Behind Michael Thomas, you have Alvin Kamara, and then who the hell is going to catch passes, man? I know we're talking about it. You could throw Adam Troutman into that same bucket. That's fine. Won't disagree with you. But Troutman's probably not going to be a high-volume target guy. Traquan Smith has the talent to do that, man. And I think that it's real. And people don't want to sit here and do that because they've been burned too many damn times because they've been out there hyping him. dude, you got to sit here and throw your priors out the window. Like, it does happen for some of these wide receivers that during the first few years, it's injuries, it's inconsistencies, it's all a number of different factors. Could we also toss out the fact that, like, Drew Brees was on his last legs for the last few seasons, man. And whether you want to talk about Jameis Winston, you want to talk about Taysom Hill, and yes, I'll even throw Taysom Hill into this mix, man, because this team, and Taysom Hill was better as a passer. You and I have discussed this a ton. Taysom Hill was a better passer than people want to ever give him credit for last year. If you go search it on Twitter, look up my Twitter profile, then also toss in Taysom Hill there. I have a long thread about how he was as a passer, breaking all of that down, man. I'm in on it this year. As well as, we haven't even talked about the fact of New Orleans' defense got worse. When they decided to sit here and cut salary for the cap, that happened because of the defense, man. And people are like, well, they don't throw the ball enough. The one spot last year with Taysom Hill as quarterback, and we saw them trailing, was Philly. They were middle of the road. They were 15th highest passing rate in the NFL in neutral scripts that week, throwing at 59%. If that happens more this year because their defense sucks more and they struggle or they're behind, we have them in more neutral script games, more negative scripts. The passing volume could surprise some people. And I just, like, Tre'Quan Smith is free, Adam. He's free than best ball. He's probably going to be free in redraft this year because nobody's going to sit here and be like, oh yeah, I want some Tre'Quan Smith in my life. That's not going to happen, man, because just as many people as out there talking about him, and I see it on social media, like I am, there's just as many people out there tossing hate right back. So I think his ADP is going to stay nice and juicy, and he's going to stay in those late rounds.
Yeah, I would definitely feel better about him if Jameis is the quarterback, and the reason why is we saw, and it could change if he has a full year as a starter and everything like that, but we saw Taysom Hill really lock on Michael Thomas, and then if that read wasn't there, he would just run. He wouldn't really go through his progressions, and again, that could change. But I think Jameis is going to whoever's under center, your first read's probably going to be Michael Thomas or Alvin Kamara, depending on if the play is designed for him, which many will be. But I think Jameis has a better chance to look off Michael Thomas if it's not there and go to Tre'Quan Smith or go to one of the other perimeter receivers. But the opportunity is definitely there. I mean, we talked about the Saints being a potential landing spot for one of these rookie receivers at, what, pick 27, 28, where they were at. Didn't happen. Not even the second round where I thought they could have taken Terrace Marshall, who didn't go in the first round. And they just didn't go there. And Emmanuel Sanders, not there. He actually, like, that's a lot of targets gone. Jared Cook, it's notable targets gone. And outside of Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, I mean, unless Adam Trautman has this huge step forward, like,
somebody's going to catch passes, Adam. Somebody.
Or Michael Thomas and Kamara could literally catch every single one.
I mean, look, you and I have talked about that as well.
That was a joke.
No. But you and I have talked about that. The target tree has been narrowed a ton. Where do you set the over-under at, Adam?
The targets?
30%. 30% target share this year? I mean, would you go lower than that? I think it's going to be around that.
If Taysom's under center, I'll take 30%. I'll take the slight under if it's Jameis, just because I think Jameis will check it down to Kamara more.
But you're not rolling lower than, like, I mean, he is going to be in a top three.
He won't be
for wide receivers.
He won't be under 27%.
No, exactly, man. And my whole thing is that even if that Michael Thomas gets 27%, Alvin Kamara gets above 25%, that's fine, man. You still have an offense that's going to throw the ball 500 freaking times. Somebody else has to catch passes here, man. And if it's really a three-headed monster, if we get the ascension of Tre'Quan Smith, where he's going in drafts, he is going to be a massive value.
I don't hate it. I like the Tre'Quan call a lot more than Mecole, for sure.
I'm out here on these former truther streets, man. I'm just bringing it up, okay? People are talking about they're moving on and stuff like that, and I was like, well, I wasn't owning this to begin with. I guess it's time for me to buy in. Come on, let's go. I mean, you know, I didn't have the real estate venture before, but I mean, you know, you can sell me the condo now. Let's do this. Let's sign on the dotted line. Yeah. Going for the New Orleans Saints, transitioning over to the new place that a former Saints offensive coordinator is now running the show, Adam. Tell me why you think Austin Ekeler and Justin Herbert are massive winners right now.
Yeah, absolutely massive. For starters, it's not even just from the draft. I mean, over the last year, the Chargers have brought in Brian Bulaga, and then this past offseason, Corey Linsley, and then they draft Rashawn Slater falls right in their lap in the first round. I mean, Rashawn Slater, a lot of people think he's better than Penei Sewell. Like, he's that good of a prospect. Especially where I think he's going to be good is getting out in the second level in the screen game for Austin Eckler. And not only would that benefit Eckler, but who's throwing the football on the screens? If he's getting huge chunk plays off screens, I just think it solidifies his offensive line. He's versatile. He can move around the offensive line if there's injuries. Not to mention, the Chargers, I mean, cover your ears, but listen, your guy last year, right? Chargers backup running back, your guy.
You're going to bring it up, right? I brought up old wounds with Mecole Hardman. You're going there, aren't you, Adam? You're going to go there, huh?
I don't want to. No, because you were literally right about it to start the season. It looked like it was going to be like both these guys. But then the season went on and Joshua Kelly just really didn't do much and Kalen Ballage is playing over him. But like Justin Jackson and Joshua Kelly behind Austin Eckler, I mean, Austin Eckler could have like a monster season behind this offensive line with Justin Herbert. And this is another team that I think, you know, Hunter Henry's gone. It's going to be Keenan Allen getting 27 to 30% target share. Like, this Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler could be like Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. So I love what the Chargers have done because we love what the Chargers do every offseason. Please stay healthy because this team could be really fun. But I think with Brian Bulaga, Matt Filer, Corey Linsley, Rashawn Slater, like, that is a very good offensive line. Should help Justin Herbert. Also can help Austin Eckler, both in the run game and in the screen game. So, yeah, wheels up for these two. They are both top seven players at their position for me heading into top eight. I have Eckler at RB8, but I could easily move him over Jonathan Taylor. And then Herbert's my quarterback seven, but might move him over Aaron Rodgers right now because I don't know what the hell is going on with Aaron Rodgers. But
no, that's fair, man.
All things considered, I love both these players, and I love what the Chargers have going on right now.
The Chargers are a sneaky, sneaky spot for, like, just if you're talking about, like, a fantastic offense that people, I don't know if, like, I'm not saying that people are sleeping on it, dude, but I still don't understand the, like, please explain to me right now when I look at ADPs and I'm out here doing, like, best ball drafts and stuff, for the life of me, I do not understand why Keenan Allen is, like, a third-round pick. I don't understand that. He was a top three wide receiver last year. I also don't understand, Justin Herbert's in the sixth round, dude. I don't get it.
The Keenan Allen thing is the same thing it's been with A.J. Green during his years. It's just we have Justin Jefferson and A.J. Brown, and warranted, these guys are superstars. And
oh, the DK new hotness? Metcalf.
Yeah, it's just Keenan Allen, he's done it every year. He's, what, 30-something years old, and he doesn't average, you know, a ton of yards per catch or target. He's just... I tend to draft.
So Keenan Allen's kind of like the new Julio. He's been good for so damn long that we don't even respect it now.
Yeah, except people don't find a way to hate Keenan Allen like they do Julio for some odd reason.
It's weird, even though, man.
He's one of the five best receivers to ever step on the field. But I could rant about that for every podcast we ever do about Julio. But I think it is part of that. And I think Keenan Allen, like, you want to talk about we saw how often he was targeted with Justin Herbert last year. This is going to be a pretty concentrated offense, and now the offensive line looks like it could be a top five unit because they were terrible run blocking last year. Like, they were, I think PFF graded them at like 31st overall in run blocking. So you add Corey Linsley and Rashawn Slater to that. I mean, Eckler could legitimately finish as the RB1. I would not be surprised.
No, I won't either, man, because he could easily catch like 100 balls this year. Like, this offense could be fantastic, Adam. And you're talking about the offensive line. Justin Herbert got beat to hell and back. Like, if you look at all different type of pressure metrics and hurries and all that kind of stuff, Herbert was like top five in every single damn category, dude. So you talk about how good he was last year and how good he was under that much duress, it doesn't get discussed enough. And now he's going to have more clean pockets just to sit here and pick defenses apart? Dude, I can't wait to see it, man. I mean, look, if you're looking at other ways that, like, besides fantasy and stuff, I would be sitting out there, like, scouring some of these long shot futures on Super Bowl picks for the Chargers right now. I'd definitely be in on it, man. I haven't checked the lines recently, but I would definitely be. It perks the ears up.
And not even just the offensive line. Like, we like the Josh Palmer draft selection, and they drafted Trey McKitty, like an athletic, explosive tight end that can Like they just it wasn't even they just all across the board, they've done things to help Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I love it, man. I think this offense is going to be fireworks. All we need is health out of it, dude, and we're going to see a massive, massive explosion. All right, everyone, that is our veteran winners from the NFL draft. Again, we're going to flip the script here. Adam and I are going to be back. We're going to be talking about veteran losers, players that really saw their value take a hit because of the NFL draft. Fade the chalk. We are out.